In the next 4 weeks, I expect significant announcements that we can make once we have the final government nod.
Delaine Leakes, Incor Resources, how are you?
I'm really well, Andy, and thanks so much for making the time to chat with us.
It's really my pleasure, and I'm really quite interested in you. There is a little bit of curiosity here. I'm calling you from Cambodia. I don't think I've ever called anybody from Cambodia.
There aren't a lot of North American companies in the mineral and extractive sector in Cambodia, for sure. So I'm a little surprised at that.
Yeah, so that right away got my, I guess, is getting my attention. You're very different. So let's start walking through that, how you're different, and tell me about your projects.
Sure. So ultimately, we became involved in Cambodia 14 years ago. And I think our attraction to the country, they allow foreign companies to do the projects 100%. So there's no ownership by government that's required. And ultimately, it's very, very safe. We worked in a lot of developing countries. And Cambodia is very predictable. But it's also very easy to access all areas of the country now. Now, several years ago, like 8 or 9 years ago, they were still building infrastructure to get you around the entire country, but it's improved significantly. And as a country, I mean, they're up and coming in Southeast Asia.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they really put things into place there. So I think part of the attraction is that it is approachable, and they've got some incentives in the country for investment, but you get in early. I mean, this country is surrounded on all sides by lots of mineral production and lots of oil and gas production. And it's just been the historical placement of Cambodia that it never had the opportunity to develop those world-class resources. So we kind of feel like we've been fortunate to get in on, although it's always tough or early days, but to get in on those opportunities. And that's why we're really excited right now about what's coming and what's in front of us over the next 3 to 6 months.
Yeah, well, tell me about that. Tell me about the next 3 to 6 months. But first, let's talk about the projects here. So people that might be confused, are you a mineral project or are you an energy project or are you both?
Well, and here's the beauty of it. We're a little bit both. If you look at the corporate structure, so our parent is in Canada. We have an energy subsidiary, and that energy subsidiary then has a holding company in Singapore and Enercam Resources in Cambodia. And so it handles traditional oil and gas projects, but also some alternative oil and gas and carbon capture. So we kind of go, okay, cleaner, greener, let's do this right. Let's take the best from across the globe and let's implement it into Enercam. On the other side, we have the mineral subsidiary, which is Anchor Gold. Cambodia is the Cambodian company. We have 3 significant licenses. Andong Mia has copper and gold on it. Hoyadeo North is a gold and copper play, and Andong Bor is mainly copper porphyry and gold as well. So the 2 subsidiaries allow us to have 2 independent teams that work concurrently. It goes very, very smoothly. And added to those, we've been able to use our energy side to create revenues, ongoing recurring revenues. So that's a real bump for companies that were trying to be junior explorers, and ultimately now we're pretty well to the point where we are self-supporting. So that's a huge plus for us, because We want to move forward. We want the upside on the mineral projects, the upside on the oil projects, but we also want to be able to stay away from big dilution unless it's for a private placement that is very, very significant to the company. So we now have two of those. One was to capture carbon emissions from production gases, pulling them out of the atmosphere and converting them through pipeline to a gas processing facility, and then we sell it to the province. And the second one was an acquisition of a portion of the oil and gas production with water disposal and the gas plant included. So that made a big difference too. That's sort of where we're at and as far as positioning ourselves, which is why we call ourselves, we are a resource optimizer. We find those niche markets and we execute on them so that we can advance ourselves.
Got it. Okay. So just so I'm not confused, are you cash flowing yet from your oil and gas, or is that soon to be?
No, we are cash flowing and have been since January of 2024.
Congratulations.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thanks, Mandy. Yeah, it started out pretty small. You were kind of down at, I think our net was, I don't know, 70,000 a month. And I think the last couple of months were over 120,000. And we're just completing some additional water injection steps that we would hope we'll bump that up towards 150 or 160,000 a month.
Okay, so that's great. So cash flow and this funds, and again, I'm following what you just told me. This is funds or funding, at least partially, the exploration into the mineral side of the company. Is that correct?
That's correct. But we also have taken on some partners. If we see it's a very long range, we'll take on a partner that pays 100% of their costs on the mineral license. We have a carried interest of 20%, and we are the operator on those licenses because we're here in Cambodia. We know what we're doing. Where it's prudent to do so, we will bring a partner in on that. And currently we have two of the three licenses under partnership, and the third one, we're going to do that one ourselves because we're really excited about some rare earth anomalies that we want to push and some additional gold on that.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. So tell me about the core facts here.
Sure. So like I said, our Canadian burn rate is about 23,000 and US a month. Cambodia is about 33. Outstanding shares, we've got 144 million. Key about that is over 40% of that is held by management with and close friends and family. So very closely held. We have a great deal of funds that are put in by those close to us and by ourselves. So that means we walk the talk. We are very, very vested in making sure that we are successful here. So that makes a big difference to us. When we're looking at a company, how much has management put in of their own money?
No, I like to see at least 30 to 40% privately. I mean, helped by the insiders, if you would.
Sure. So ultimately, we got involved in late 2009. We became public 2011. And so we've been in Cambodia for 14 years. We have, as I mentioned before, global expertise right across the mineral and the oil and gas energy sector. We have been recognized for our ESG and CSR several years running, both at the United Nations, and we've set national precedents in Cambodia for working with our indigenous communities in a cradle to grave kind of model. And ultimately, we want to operate this and use your dollars exactly the same way that we would use ours. So we look for best practices across the entire sector. We maximize the natural resources that are in front of us, and we implement that ESG wherever we can, not when we find a resource, but right from day one on the ground. And that builds really, really strong relationships with both government and the communities and those around us.
Right. Okay.
So a really quick peek. We have two of our licenses up in the northeast corner in Ratanakere province, really close to Vietnam. That's Andong Mia and Oyedale North. Again, multiple prospects, copper, gold, gold, copper. And this is where we're going to be looking at some rare earths on this little green one. Andong Bor, it's a copper, gold porphyry system. So those are the location of the mineral licenses. Excuse me. And to take a little zoom in on some of these, Oyedale North is running. There is a mine built directly south of it, and the veins run right from, this is where the mine lies. This is the Oyedale North license, and ultimately you can see the veins run right up. So we've got some additional drilling that we want to be doing there in early 2025. And then further north in Andong Mia, we've got a really solid gold anomaly that is really close to surface. So these were anywhere up to 70 grams per ton. Now these are rock and grab samples, but that's just one of the prospects there that we're looking at. And I mentioned, why would we be in Cambodia? Because you don't run into this. And I said, well, we can own 100% of our project. The geopolitical risk is very low. It's very secure. We know what's happening here. On the oil side, the government wants to buy 100% of the production, which we're thrilled with because ultimately, if we get world price and we're able to produce that oil, then it makes things so much easier on anything from transportation to marketing it. Sure. Infrastructure is in place right around the country. And we are really, just due to its history, Cambodia as a whole is underexplored and very, very prospective because, like I said, it's surrounded by production on all sides. So, and they've accomplished putting in mining and energy governance that is very, very modern.
Yeah, tell me a little bit more about the infrastructure then around where you're drilling.
You can reach any part of the country. And it would be the size of, Cambodia, I think, is close to the size of Oklahoma. Or if you're looking in Canada, it's about a third the size of Alberta.
Okay.
So it used to be difficult to reach some of those outer areas where we were like up close to the border. That would have been quite remote. But that's no longer the case. These are paved roads. And like I said, there's power to all the sites now. It's only when we get back in the jungle areas that there's a little bit more. They're not going to have paved roads back in there where they've got 100 people living. But certainly getting to the provinces and the main communities, no problem. So when we have water, power, good access for transportation, it just makes everything so much simpler. Look, we used to spend 2.5 days getting to up to the province on roads that were, well, second to none, and now it's an 8-hour trip. So, yeah. So as far as the energy goes, if I look at the southwest corner of Cambodia. And the port, Scenic Vale, is right down here. Onshore, when we did a scope of all the oil and gas licenses available in the country, this was our first choice. There's never been a well drilled onshore in Cambodia. And we're going to be that first. We're going to tackle that. And I'm pretty excited about that. So that's one of the things.
It's very exciting, actually.
Yeah. And again, if you think about this, If you surround all of a state like that or a province and there's production all around it, that plus there's significant oil seeps there. We've done source rock analysis. And I mean, there are areas where you literally throw a match on the ground and there's enough gas coming out of there that it just burns.
So
there's hydrocarbons there. There's no question. We just have to prove commercial quantity and get after it.
So, What kind of production are you looking at?
Well, if our scientists have hit this on the nail, if they've hit the nail on the head, they expect this is a sedimentary foreland basin. And these kind of formations are very, very large. It's what Western Canada, it's the Western Canadian sedimentary land, foreland basin would be a comparable, which is massive. It covers thousands. But the nice thing about it is they're not little. They tend to run 30 to 100 million barrels. You know, they're not just a little
huge.
And so when they're that large, it's about finding the proper zones for the reservoirs.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, really basic, let's just do some, I call it napkin math. Let's take 15 million barrels. Let's take $70 a barrel. What have we got? We've got a $1.1 billion resource, and we're on the very, very low end of what we think we are.
Okay.
Now let's say, all right, if that's $1.1 billion, let's take 10% of it because it's sitting in the ground. We're still over $100 million on that one play.
Yeah.
So, like I said, this is big onshore.
Yeah.
I think onshore has, honestly, it's got as much potential as the offshore. The offshore, what happened was Chris Energy had a license, was producing. They owed over $600 million. Price of oil went down. Basically, they went into receivership. So the government took over this first offshore production. And they did approach us to see if we would take it on. And we said, well, our strength and our forte is actually onshore, but we are still in negotiations with the government to take that on. Now there's some attraction to it because there's no reclamation, no decommissioning because it's the government asset. They only produced 297 barrels before the production barge left the site. And so there's still significant amounts sitting in the six wells that exist there that we've tested. We've been out to the site and tested it. So if we can come to terms with that, then that would be a second one. But the one that we're really, really excited about is this onshore one.
Delaney, if I can ask, how many wells can that onshore zone or site, how many wells can that support?
Well, if the reservoir's there, and depending on the kind of formation, I mean, let's put it equivalent to, I'm just comparing it to a portion of Alberta, because that's our backyard. So, I mean, Alberta's drilled, you know, since they first hit, there's over 900,000 wells that have been drilled. So if we take an area that's similar, and take one license out of it, how much could one license support? I would think we're...
That's a lot of oil. That's a lot of oil.
I would really be throwing, I'd be throwing a darts at a dartboard after a few drinks, even with a number, but it could miss.
Okay, so the next question is do you own that license, correct?
We own that license 100%. Yep.
Yes, yeah. For Gurneet. So
it's going to be fun. Honestly, Andy, I'm probably more excited now than I have been. You know, it's kind of, you know, grind it out and get it forward. So this license, I mean, it's a 30-year license. That's So those terms are already sorted out, right? From, okay, we start exploring, do the seismic, you know, into developmental wells, production wells. It's right now it's 7,300 square kilometers, but we have already checked this. We're going to take out all the park areas and protected areas and sanctuaries because we don't need to be there.
You don't need it either.
So that's going to come down to half that. It'll be about 3,500 square kilometers that we'll actually be working on. Of course, it borders the export port. We'd be about 70 kilometers to port. if where we would expect to be drilling and producing. And we've just in the last 2 weeks confirmed a solid funder for this. So we had been sort of waiting to say, no, we don't want to go in underfunded. Yeah. And we're ecstatic. So that will be, get approval from that from the government, and then we can announce it.
What's the ETA on going into production herb? Yeah, for all of this.
Best case scenario, we would start at the end of year two. We would do some more seismic, some more additional work on the ground. So we're going into dry season now. If we got started, let's say 1st of January. Yeah, I think we're targeting. We're trying to say, look, let's do 5 years in 2.5. That's been in our work plan now with this.
In July 27.
Yeah. Yeah. All of 25, all of 26. It could be the end of 26. Yeah.
Great. Got it. All right.
And again, the hydrocarbons, I mean, there's still lots of pushback, but ultimately, and we've done this, is you clean up those carbon. You make sure that they're not going into the atmosphere. And the reality is hydrocarbons still provide 84% of the world's energy. So whether we like it or not, I don't believe they're going away. I think what's really important is that we do it well.
Yeah.
Keep it clean and green and use all the technology that we have available to do it better. And so that's our challenge, and we're excited to take it on. And to be honest, between Canada and Norway are the two leaders on the globe when it comes to oil and gas development. Areas of the U.S., of course, are very active as well. But I think there's some really cool stuff happening in oil and gas that have made this change the whole industry.
Yeah, I would agree with you. You're talking to an oil and gas guy, or that's where I get my.
Okay, well, there you go. My cousin. I'm talking to my cousin here then.
Right.
So, and why Block 8? Like I said, this was our first choice. It was close to the port. And there were indications of that foreland basin by geoscientists from several nations. Great source rock. And ultimately, we've got over 21 oil seeps that are actually coming out of the property that would give us, that we've tested to say, okay, this is crude oil. So there's some real solid reasons. I mean, there's a picture of some of these oil seeps and off to the right here, every single black dot is an oil seep that we've, so it's a big deal.
That's a huge deal. Yeah. No, I wanted to be careful what I say, but my background, it looks to me like you have a lot of oil.
Yeah, we won't know till you drill, right? You never know till you actually.
Yeah, it looks.
And because Cambodia imports all of its hydrocarbon energy, and they're talking billions of dollars every year. If it's gas we hit, then we convert it to power.
Yeah.
If it's oil, we pump it to a tank and transport it by truck to port. Happy campers. And like I said, the potential large deposits here, you know, it sounds ridiculous, but it is what it is. It's the scientists that are telling me this. It's between 50 and 400 million barrels. So,
yeah, those are the spoils of being first, really.
Well, right. Risk reward. Yeah. Lots of risk. We get that. But yeah.
And also a ton in when you're first.
Sure. So these multilateral drilling that's been taking place over the last couple of decades is a big game changer in the industry, because you can go down with one vertical well and you can have 12 legs in whatever. You can go up, down, around corners. And ultimately, we're working with a group in Saskatchewan and Alberta right now, but that's exactly what we're doing. And it's working extremely well. So
a lot of different pay zones.
Sure. Yeah. And yeah, I think pretty good returns, you know, we're going to squish this into 2.5 years, but We would look to be working towards 5,000 barrels a day. And we've got about anywhere from a $20 to a $30 million US to get it there, depending how lucky we get.
Yeah.
If we can, and we'll do our first series of wells, will probably be 5 wells in an area. Again, we'll work that out as we move forward, but we're pretty excited about this. And again, our relationships are really strong between villages, between the government, all the way up, and with the NGO sectors as well. I mean, they know that we're not out there to rape and pillage the land and the rest of it. This is our this was the meeting, and this actually took place during COVID, where we did the first cradle to grave agreement with Indigenous communities. So this is
awesome.
We work with them, everything that they're, you know, they'll say we need some help with education. Okay, we'll put our local teacher in your language and give her some skills. And I mean, really small stuff. They'll say, well, we're doing it at night. Could we get some, but we need some light because they don't have power in those really remote. So yeah, we're turning a couple of solar lights. I mean, it's really minimal. It's just, finally, they've got industry working beside them, not against them.
Yeah, and that builds a lot, as you've alluded to, it builds a lot of great goodwill, you know.
Oh, it just, look, and I've said to people right from the day we first stepped into Cambodia, if anybody crosses our land without talking to us, get kind of testy, you know, and why would we expect anything else with other people? So treat them the same way that we would like to be treated. And it's, I mean, so far it's worked really well. And so, and our teams, they're very well experienced. They've worked in Canada for years. They've built large facilities. Our drilling specialists are well into the 85% drilling success rate, which is very, really, really positive. And then, of course, they built oil production from North Africa, Europe, North America, taking gas 350 million cubic feet per day, and LPG, all of which is needed in Cambodia. I mean, these are the things that they're paying a fortune for to get into their own country. These are some of the pictures from North Africa and Canada and the timelines that it took to build these power plants. So there's some of the, I think they're some of the leading ones of their time. And then there's this offshore play, but I just, again, we are waiting for the government. This one is also fully funded. We have a partner. We're just waiting for the government to agree to the terms. And this is us out there a year ago doing the inspections. This is my husband, Mike, who's First Plus Power Engineer. And then this is one of the Sokotia from the Ministry of Mines and Energy. Again, checking out both the well site platform. What do they have to work with? What do they need to change? So into our gas capture in Canada. Here's a series of wells in Saskatchewan. They were all shut in as a team. We went in to start it up, said, okay, we'll restart these wells. They were all connected by an underground pipeline, but we were venting or flaring the gases. And that was our first in to say, you know what? We're going to capture these gases. Ultimately, that's what we did. So now we have putting in them here, and here I am in the middle of, that was January that we were just starting that up. And so ultimately, end of the day, we deliver. We've got a nice, clear landscape. There's no emissions, low footprint, and it gave us two cash flows with more that are now coming on the mineral plays. Again, our 20% interest. and we're ready to drill on a couple of them to prove that resource. We have a joint venture in on the onshore, like I said, it's funded, and I think we'll see that announced. I expect it in the next 4 weeks.
In the next 4 weeks, that was my next question. Do you have news hitting in the next little while? In the next 4 weeks, you expect what?
In the next 4 weeks, I expect significant announcements that we can make once we have the final government nod. So, And again, that's not only a country changer for Cambodia, but it's going to be a company changer for us too. So what do we do? Anchor tries to mitigate the risk, define those niche markets, and go provide diversity so that if there's a hiccup, we've got enough diversification that we've protected our shareholders and ourselves, because we're not counting on one prospect of one mineral. We've got a variety of things in the natural resource sector. We think that's how to create value. Yeah. So how do people get involved? Well, sure, we've got this. What are we going to do real shortly here? We're going to fund and prove this onshore oil resource. We're going to drill on several copper gold porphyry systems. We're going to expand our Canadian production of oil, gas, and then we're going to complete the verification and certification on carbon capture on several projects, not just the oil in Canada, but also on a bamboo project in Cambodia. So how do people get involved? Well, I think we're really, really undervalued based on what we have now and what we have coming. So anything under 15 cents US, I think, is a steal. And or people can, if you want to do a private placement, you can, or you can be part of funding an acquisition, because there's all of those are on the table.
What if people want to buy your stock? What's your ticker?
So we are ANKOS on OTC. And we are
ANKOM.
Yeah. And we are ANK on the TSX Venture.
Yeah. And what are you currently trading at?
I think we're at about 10.5 cents Canadian.
Got it. Okay. And what's your website where people want can go to get more info?
There you go. AnchorResources.com.
And to all of our viewers, I'll put all of this in the show notes as well.
Sure. Sure. So yeah, we are some traditional oil with gold and copper on the mineral side and carbon solutions on the clean green environment side. That's what we do.
I think you're a lot of golden. I mean, I think you're a lot of that, not a little. All right, Delaney, thank you so much and do appreciate your time. And yeah, we'll put this out to the world and hopefully people can find some value on it.
Yeah, so I really appreciate you making the time, Andy. And I know that I was kind of time zones and Fort Lauderdale and like this.